with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. It's great to have your company again for Tech Guide Episode 5. I'm Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. Another packed show this week. Kicking off with some great news for rail commuters who want to stay connected on their journey. We also look at a new self-service system for Apple Store customers and check out Foxtel's new Olympics tablet app. In our review section, we run our eye over Sony's new flagship Blu-ray disc player and also look at a couple of interesting iPad accessories. In this week's interview, we chat to Telstra's Director of Consumer Bundles, Broadband and Voice, John Chambers, about the new T-Hub 2 home phone and tablet system that's just been announced. And we'll also take all your questions and answer them as best we can in the Tech Guide Help Desk. So let's not waste any time. Let's just jump straight in. Well, it was terrific news for rail commuters who happen to enjoy being connected on their smartphones, their tablets, and even their laptop computers with news that Optus and Telstra have completed major network upgrades to keep commuters connected on their rail journeys. So usually when commuters are travelling through tunnels, they often lose their signals. But now, thanks to these upgrades to the rail service and the radios in the rail services, now we can travel now through from Central all the way to Chatswood and on that's the North Shore line. There's also the Western line. So this is a significant upgrade from Telstra and Optus. So for next G customers, you're going to get 3G speeds. There'll also be 2G upgrade as well for your talk and text, but also 3G connectivity. The infrastructure's it's taken some time to complete, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who listening right now, maybe even you might even be listening to this on your commute, who have experienced this, the dropout occasionally of their phone signal. I know oftentimes I've jumped on a train, sometimes up at Central just to get into the city, and even travelling from Central to Town Hall, which it's one stop on the Sydney network there, and I've often got to say to people, look, I'm just in a tunnel, about to hit a tunnel, so I'll have to call you back if you're in the middle of browsing on the web or updating your, sending a tweet or updating your Facebook status. It's usually got to wait until you hit Town Hall Station or Wynyard Station. The rail, the reception at those train stations, by the way, have also been upgraded so that and the rest of the city circle line will also see improvement in the reception as well. So this is terrific news for commuters. And let's face it, what's the first thing a lot of people do? You have a look around at the train that you're traveling on, you'll see a lot of people there looking at their smartphones. Now they're also bringing their iPads and other tablets on board because they see this downtime, they see it as a period of for them to maybe either be productive, they might get some work done, check their emails, or it's a time for them to entertain themselves, either check out their Facebook or Twitter or maybe play a game. And oftentimes these apps and games also need an internet connection. So it's very frustrating for some customers who can't stay connected for this entire journey. So this is excellent news. Optus and Telstra have completed this upgrade. So now when you're travelling along the rail network, you're not going to be cut off anymore.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Apple Store customers are also in for an easier time in the Apple Store. It's not that it was a difficult time to be in the Apple Store. It's often very crowded in there, no matter what time of the day, especially if you go there at lunchtime, especially. There's a lot of people in the Apple Store. If you ever head down to the main Apple Store there in George Street, there is always a crowd in that store. And oftentimes people who they want to make a quick purchase, they get in there, they maybe want to buy a new pair of headphones or a case for their computer or for their iPad or for their phone. often want to get served really quickly, and often and sometimes that's not the case because they've got to look for a staff member. They've sometimes got to line up at the register to pay for their accessory that they want to pick up. So it's great news to hear that Apple have extended their Apple Store app to include a new feature called Easy Pay. Now, as its name suggests, it reminds me of the self-serve checkouts that you see at your local supermarket. I know at Coles, at Woolies, Big W, all those major stores have these self-service checkouts. Now, imagine that functionality, though, on your iPhone. So if you want to go into the Apple Store and purchase an accessory, I should remind everyone, this isn't to pop in and buy an iPad or a laptop or an iMac. It is limited to the accessories that you can actually access on the floor, either a smart cover, a bag, maybe a pair of headphones, earphones, cases, things like that that you can actually pull off the shelf. I think it's in the Sydney store, it's on the second floor, all those accessories. But in other stores, there are clearly marked sections where you can see all the products hanging on the wall. So it's only to purchase those products. And it also has a limit for it has to be $400 or less. So if you're looking to buy something more than $400, you need to seek some help from a staff member. But anyway, if you do want to buy something really quickly, you just use the Easy Pay app. All you need to do is scan the barcode using the app. And what will happen is you'll see that product appear on your screen. You'll see a description of the product as well as reviews, pictures, an outline of all the features. So right there in your hand, you've got access to all the reviews that appear on the Apple online store. And then it gives you the choice to click the green Pay Now button to actually purchase the product. Now, you have to have an iTunes account with a credit card attached. Now, if you've got credit in your iTunes account, you might have a couple hundred bucks or $50, whatever you got in it, it's not going to take your purchase from that credit. It is only going to take it from your credit card that's associated with that account. So once you decide to do that, you click the green button, make that purchase, and then what you'll do, you'll see a receipt appear on the screen. You'll also have the choice to have that receipt emailed to you. And then it's simply a matter of walking out with that product. You can proof of purchase would be the receipt on your app or on the email, and you can then either walk straight out of the store or show that receipt to a staff member who then maybe want, if you're after a bag to carry the product out in, they'll also give you a bag once they've sighted your receipt. But it's just got a lot easier now to make these purchases in the Apple Store using the Easy Pay app. So check it out. If you've already got the Apple Store app, you can access it in the store using that app, obviously only through the iPhone. So it makes it a lot easier to buy that product in store. There's a story on techguide.com.au if you want any more information. Well, the Olympics are less than 2 weeks away. I think we're down to 10 days. We were recording this on a Monday night in Sydney, and so it's about 10 days to go before the opening ceremony takes place in London. Now, Foxtel is the pay TV broadcast partner for the London 2012 Olympic Games, and they've actually released a new free app which will allow existing customers to watch the games live over 3G or Wi-Fi on their iPad or Android tablet. So if you're the time difference with the London Games, I understand a lot of the final is going to be very early in the morning. So it's not actually going to be at the ideal time of the day. If you're up early and you want to watch some live events, you can using the Foxtel London 2012 app. There's 8 channels on Foxtel to watch the Olympic action on. And the app will give you access to all 8 of those channels on the go, either through 3G or Wi-Fi. Obviously, 3G, there's going to be a data impact too. So if you're streaming a lot of video, it's going to have an impact on your monthly data limit. So keep an eye on that. The app will also highlight the times when Australians are competing. It'll also highlight gold medal events, and it'll give you access, as I said, to 8 of the Foxtel channels. So it's a great way to keep track of our Aussie hopes in London 2012. The app is free to download, but it's only available to Foxtel home subscribers. Now, if you're using Foxtel on your T-Box or on Xbox If you've got an internet connection through your Samsung Smart TV, you don't qualify to view free this free content. You need to be a fully paid home subscriber with a set-top box in your home to be able to access this service, unfortunately. So you check with that. Yeah, once you downloaded it, then you enter your username and password, and then it gives you access to the Foxtel service on the go. So if you're a sports fan, and I am a huge sports fan, I will be downloading this app. I am a Foxtel customer. I don't want to miss any of this action, whether I'm at home or on a train or wherever I am. I want to be able to watch the action, and this Foxtel 2012 app will allow you to do it.
Tech Guide Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Sony have released their brand new flagship Blu-ray disc player, the BDP-S790. Now, when Sony releases a Blu-ray product, they were one of the main companies behind Blu-ray back years ago when the technology was developed. You know, when they're releasing a new product, especially a flagship product, that's something we should take notice of. And this is no exception. The S790 is built, though, with what I've written a little story on Tech Guide. I've called it a Blu-ray disc player with the future in mind. The reason I say that is because this includes 4K upscaling. Now, we've heard of full high definition, but 4K is what I call ultra definition. And by that, I mean it's four times the resolution of full HD. But you're probably thinking, hang on a minute, my TV only has so many pixels. Well, that's right at the moment. But earlier this year at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, they unveiled a number of 4K displays. Now, 4K is short for 4,000, which means the resolution is more than 4,000 pixels across. So what we saw at CES were a number of flat screen TVs from LG and Samsung, which are going to be 4K screens, and they're quite large. Obviously, to fit that many pixels on a screen, you need a decent size screen. I think it's 70 inch and above. I think the LG TV was 84 inch. But also Sony released a very impressive home theater projector, the world's first 4K home theater projector, which I actually got a chance to preview at Sony headquarters a couple of months ago, and it was incredible. The resolution, the sharpness of the picture, if you could ever imagine there being a better picture than full HD, well, you'd be watching the 4K projector. I did also see the Samsung and LG models at CES, and they were quite stunning, but a lot of people are saying, well, I've never seen 4K content. Well, if you've ever been to the cinema and it's a digital projection, chances are you have seen some 4K content. The films projected through those digital in those digital theaters is 4K content. And down the track, I think it's quite possible that movie houses are going to release a DVD version, a Blu-ray version, and a 4K version of the film. So directly out, straight out of what's been screened in the cinema, they'll put it on a disc. It'd have to be a very high-capacity disc, so if people can view it on their 4K display, which is why, getting back to the Sony Blu-ray disc player, this is an important feature to note. If down the track you do happen to want to buy a 4K display, this Sony Blu-ray disc player, the S790, will be able to upscale your full high-definition Blu-ray disc to 4K resolution. But other features on this, it's a connected device, so it gives a lot of smart TV-like features, so things like your catch-up TV apps, it gives you Skype connectivity, it also has DLNA, which allows you to access content from other compatible devices on your network, other laptops, smartphones, tablets on your network as well. The Sony BDP-S790 is priced at only $429, which is pretty reasonable considering this is their top-of-the-line product and it has all the bells and whistles. It's also, I've got access naturally to Sony's content through the Sony Entertainment Network. That includes videos, music, games, and all kinds of other things like that, as well as I mentioned, your catch-up TV apps as well. So there's a story on techguide.com.au for anyone who wants to read any further. We'll carry on our review section now. Next two products are actually iPad accessories. We reviewed on Tech Guide earlier this week. The first is from Enduro, a company that's created a case with a difference. It's got a built-in battery. which keeps your iPad charged on the go. It's distributed in Australia by Padax. We did a review a few days ago. Chris Oaten contributed that review for Tech Guide. And this Enduro iPad app case allows you to not only protect the iPad, but also gives you a bit of a boost if you're running low. It can recharge the iPad up to provide another 50% of battery life. So if you're running pretty low on your iPad's power, the Enduro case can give you a bit of a boost. For those people who, and there's a lot of people who have decided to use their iPads, it's a bit of a laptop replacement device. They may have a keyboard with it too. And for those people who are using it all the time, they may be not only doing work on it, they may be watching movies and keeping themselves entertained, using apps, doing all sorts of things. Good news is, though, if you're carrying your Enduro case, it will help you. If your battery's running low, it'll give you a boost at the end of the day. The iPad, of course, has already got a very impressive battery, but this is a nice thing to have. A nice thing to have just in case. It's kind of like the spare tire in your car, I describe it. It's good to know that you've got it there in case you need it. The Enduro iPad Power Boost case, we gave it a 4.5 star out of 5 rating on Tech Guide. It's priced at $59.95, and if you want to read the review, head over to techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Following on from the iPad theme of our reviews tonight is Logitech's ultra thin keyboard cover. Now, as its name suggests, this product is not only a keyboard, it's also a cover, and it also happens to be ultra thin. So naturally, it's called the ultra thin keyboard cover. We got this into the Tech Guide office for a test last week, and very impressed with the product because it does so many things. Well, first of all, as a cover. Now, the back of this product has a silver back, silver case, similar to the rear of the iPads, the silver smooth feel. So it gives it a little bit of consistency. But what it's also got in the on the right edge of it is a magnetic clip, very similar to the one found on Apple's very own smart cover. So this clips onto the side of the iPad and closes to protect the screen and provides doesn't add too much thickness. It's actually thinner than the iPad itself. So it does protect the iPad screen and makes it a little more convenient to carry around rather than having a loose item to carry around. But you got to also remember, not only is it a cover, it's also the keyboard, a wireless keyboard that connects to your iPad using Bluetooth. The keys, 5-row keyboard, excellent to type on, quite accurate. In fact, the review that's running on Tech Guide right now was actually written on the Logitech keyboard. It's also got a groove that runs the full width of above the keyboard of the product, and that also has a tiny little magnetic clip. So once you put your iPad 2 or the new iPad into that little groove, if you put it with the volume keys up and the home key to the right, it will catch onto the magnetic side of the iPad and lock it into place. So it gives you a little bit of added security. So if you're one of those people who does like to, rather than typing, if you're a bit frustrated typing on a screen and you do want to have that convenience of a keyboard, then really check out the Logitech Ultra Thin keyboard cover, because as we said, it's not only the keyboard, it also provides a little bit of protection on the screen. It doesn't protect the back of the iPad, but it does do a good job protecting the screen and also providing the keyboard for those who don't really want to type on the screen but want to get a bit, maybe type out a few documents, get a bit more work done so rather than typing on the screen. So yeah, check it out, Logitech Ultra Thin keyboard cover. It's priced at $99.95, another 4.5 stars out of 5 on Tech Guide. But if you want to read that full review, you can check it out at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Well, we went along to the Telstra office earlier this morning to attend an event that was described as the home phone of the future. And when we arrived, it was revealed the Telstra T-Hub 2 was launched. Now, this was a follow-up to the original T-Hub, which was released more than 2 years ago. It's a small tablet-like device that also doubles up as your home phone. There's a handset that it pairs with as well, but it gives users access to different apps on the screen. So you can not only access your contacts, you can access little widgets to get the latest news, weather, sports information. And that was, as I said, released more than 2 years ago. It actually predated the iPad. The iPad was released a few weeks later. So the T-Hub has been around for more than 2 years, so it was time for a refresh, and now they've unveiled the T-Hub 2. The T-Hub 2 has a 7-inch tablet running Android, the new device, as well as a small handset as well. So it works like your normal decked cordless phone. The tablet itself, as I mentioned, is running Android and can run all types of Android apps that you find in the Play Store. You can also download your contacts to the device as well. The Telstra described it as a smartphone for the home. So it has a lot of characteristics of your smartphone and, of course, of the tablet. And because you can download apps to the T-Hub 2, it can become your news source. You can download recipes. You can download games, whatever apps that you like. It also comes with a speaker dock, so if you receive a call, it's quite a nice stereo speaker. I had a test of the product at the Telstra office today, and it gives you quite clear sound. So if you have the T-Hub 2 set up on your kitchen bench, for example, you could easily walk around the room, still hear your call quite clearly. The listener, the caller on the other end of the line can also hear you quite clearly as well. So in a lot of the videos that we saw, having the T-Hub 2 in the kitchen was a very popular choice because a lot of people like to download recipes, and having it on the counter, it places it in a position where you can easily look at the different recipes, whatever you need to download on the screen. A handy addition to the family home. If you're a Telstra customer, it's available in a bundle. But to tell us a little bit more about it, we caught up with Telstra's John Chambers earlier. Well, John, thanks for joining us. T-Hub 2, just tell us a little bit about it.
It launches tomorrow. It's a great new device from Telstra, so it replaces the T-Hub 1 that we've had in market for a couple of years. It's a real evolution of the home phone and tablet category, and it brings a whole bunch of new features to customers, so it keeps the things that they loved about the first T-Hub, great calling features, easy access to your contacts, great speakerphone experience, introduces Android, so you've got full access to the Android Google Play Store and all the apps that come along with that. And it also comes with a great new design, so a really slick design sits on a great speaker dock that helps charge it, but also has great quality, whether it's music or a speakerphone experience. So we think it's just a great device for the home.
And the T-Hub, the original T-Hub, predated the iPad. So you got into the tablet, the home tablet market before Apple even did. So, and that's been a real success for you, though, hasn't it? But the T-Hub 2 has come along more than 2 years later.
Yes, it has. So we did predate the iPad, and it has been a great success. Over 300,000 customers have taken it up. We've evolved that T-Hub 1 as we've gone along, and the T-Hub 2 really takes us to a whole new level of this home tablet category, which is quite unique for us here at Telstra.
So this is a connected device, it's running Android, you said, so
yep.
It's able to run apps and everything. So just tell us, so the whole tablet in the home and sort of you've kind of re-energised the home phone market, really, haven't you?
Absolutely. So it does, it brings you know, new things that you can do with your home phone. So it really makes features like, say, your voicemail just so much easier to use on a home phone tablet. And also, obviously, the calling and calling number display, all those features that are classic your home phone just really come to life when you're using the T-Hub. So it is, we see it as very much energising that market.
So not only is it a connected device,
yep.
but it's also your phone, but
yep.
The ability to download apps and everything, that's also going to be a strong feature of it as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's great. So the only problem you're going to have with it is who's going to get the device first. So you'll have your some tuning radio, which will be pre-installed with great access to, you know, thousands of radio stations from around the world. But obviously through Google Play, downloads of Angry Birds or whatever it might be that the kids will be after as well. So, yeah, a great range of apps available, almost unlimited. Yeah.
I noticed from the demo video there was a lot of the device was placed on central family areas like the kitchen benches, so that sort of facilitates things like downloading recipes and just having that information at your fingertips. Hands-free calling, is that how you see it positioned in the home?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, we have it in the kitchen, right on the kitchen bench. The hands-free calling feature is fantastic because of the quality of the call. So, you know, I call in when I'm travelling, speak to the family. You've got four or five of them around the kitchen bench having a really great calling experience. Or you might be cooking or cleaning in the kitchen and you can use the speakerphone to kind of multitask. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, yeah, access to recipes while you're in the kitchen, reading, you know, the news or even Facebooking sort of on the go while you're in the kitchen. It's just a really handy device.
Just on the whole home phone market, I know a lot of people use their mobile phones, but this is, I think you described this as the smartphone for the home.
Correct.
So, and there was also an interesting stat too, like it's 30 million local calls made per month still on home phone.
Absolutely, yeah. There's still 30 million calls a month, and In our research, most Australians still have a really strong relationship with their home phone. They still prefer it for calls when they're at home. So we just like to continue to make that easier and more efficient for them over time. So it's a really good step forward for the category.
You also mentioned that the T-Hub 2 is a connected device, so that it can access content on other devices. Tell us a bit about that.
So we see the connected home as a really critical area for all Australian families. They've got multiple devices trying to connect around the home. In many cases, 10 or 20 devices of different types all connecting over their home network. Now, some of the challenges that families experience is they've got content on one part of the network that they want to access through their TV or other things. We've designed the T-Hub 2 to be a controller for that. So you can use your T-Hub 2 to find some content that might be on your PC, might be on the T-Hub itself, or another DLNA connected device, maybe through your gateway. Grab that content and throw it over to us like a smart TV or another DLNA connected device. So it's a really fantastic, simple controller that anyone can use.
So this is like a glorified cordless phone, isn't it? So it comes with an additional handset.
Yes.
And I understand you can even add additional either tablets, 7-inch screen T-Hub 2s, or other handsets.
Correct. You can go up to 5 devices on the T-Hub ecosystem. So it could be 4 tablets and a handset, or 3 handsets, 2 tablets, whatever works for you. So yeah, it's very, very extendable.
And the T-Hub 1 was obviously a big success. I think you mentioned it was more than 300,000 sold.
Yep.
Do you think that these customers are going to go to the next one? And do you think you'll pick up a lot of new customers with this product?
We really hope so. In the work that we've been doing, we've worked with over 300 of our existing customers, a mix of T-Hub 1 owners and non. And both have really taken to the device. The T-Hub 1 guys really see it as a great step forward. So we'll be really working with them to help them have access to the device. But we do think it will open to a new category of customers as well, who maybe weren't so into the T-Hub 1, but really see this as a great option for them.
John, really appreciate your time. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, mate.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
And in the help desk this week, just a reminder to listeners, if you do want to contribute a question to the Tech Guide Help Desk, perhaps you maybe will have your question answered on the podcast itself or on Tech Guide, head over to our forum. That's where a lot of our readers send in their questions. And not only will I try to answer your question, but a lot of my readers who may have experience with maybe the product you're asking about, the question or the problem they may be experiencing, head over to the Tech Guide forum and you'll find that there probably will be an answer provided to you. But in the meantime, this week, I often get asked, this is a very popular question about people who have got ideas for apps. I often get an email a couple of times a week, people saying, I've got a great idea for an app. No one's done it before. Where do I start? Now, that's a very good question because apps have now become a huge part of our lives now, whether we're using them on tablets, whether we're using them on smartphones, and developing your own, as we've seen in the past, a lot of apps that are developed can often become huge success and make huge money for the people who create them. Fruit Ninja, Angry Birds, great examples. They're games, or there are other apps that have been developed. Instagram, bought for $1 million by Facebook. Perfect examples of apps, ideas that have caught on. And because of the easy distribution through the App Store and the Play Store, these can become, if word of mouth, they spread virally and people really start downloading them, can become a huge success. So I'm often asked, how do I create my own? Now, unless you're fluent in app programming and the various languages required and skills required to create an app, your next best option is to go to an app developer. Now, as we saw many years ago, once the internet became a part of our lives, web developers were popping up left, right, and center. The same thing's happening now for apps. App developers are everywhere. Now, it's a simple Google search to find different app developers in your city, that are close to you, that take the time and have the staff and the skill to create these apps. Now, I got a bit of feedback from someone else who did decide to ring one of these app developers. We won't name who they are, but just to take the meeting, they were telling me that it was going to cost them $2,000 for this company to look at their idea and to offer their feedback. Now, that's a little bit expensive in my opinion, but then they were also quoted that to develop the app further to completion and release, it was going to be anywhere between $15,000, $20,000 up to $40,000. So it's So you really do need to check, to shop around. If you do have an idea, best suggestion I can give you is to create an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. Now, there's some templates available on the internet, and what that basically does, it protects your idea. If you present this to an app developer and they sign an NDA, it then protects your idea so they can't go rush off and create, can steal your idea and create it themselves. If you have an idea, make a few phone calls. The app developers are very easy to find. There's a number of them that you can find on Google. There is in mainly Melbourne, Sydney, and obviously Brisbane too. There's a few app developers in Brisbane as well. I think Halfbrick, which the creators of Fruit Ninja, are based in Brisbane. So along these Australia's East Coast, plenty of opportunities to create your app. And if you never know, your idea may just be a winner. Well, we are often asked to with the popularity of smart TVs, a lot of people are asking questions about the iPad and the ability to connect to these smart TVs, and in particular the Samsung smart TVs. Samsung create a wide range of products, including their own tablets, their own smartphones, and probably the most popular smart TVs and TVs for that matter on the market. And the question was, can an iPad work with Samsung's AllShare feature? Now, AllShare is a feature, a DLNA feature that allows our content to be shared on the network among devices. It's kind of Samsung's version of DLNA, the Digital Living Network Alliance, which is a compatibility that allows other products to share content between them. Now, A lot of readers and listeners to my radio segments have phoned in to say that they are unable to share content from their iPad using Samsung's AllShare. Well, Samsung also make a tablet, the Galaxy Tab. They've got the Galaxy Tab 2 now. They've also got their own range of Galaxy S2 and S3 smartphones. So naturally, the first devices that are going to, tablets and mobile devices that are going to work with Samsung's products are their own. But iPad users don't despair. There is an app that we've found called the iMedia Share Lite. It's a free app that allows users to connect to AllShare and other smart TV versions of DLNA to their iPad. So it creates that little bridge that makes the iPad and the smart TV talk the same language and allow that content to be shared. So I think in Samsung's case, they're obviously protecting their own compatibility with their own tablets. They'd rather you use a Samsung tablet rather than Apple's iPad to connect to their smart TVs. But there is a way, if you do have an iPad, you can use iMedia Share Lite to share that content. Well, that's wrapped up another show. Thanks for listening. We're keen to hear from you as well, either on email, info@techguide.com.au, or via the forum on the Tech Guide website. Thanks for your company. This is the Tech Guide podcast. We'll talk to you next week.